Welcome back to The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mikan Scott. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, Mikan.
Carolyn Beeler, what's going on?
I just wanted to give you a hug.
Okay, that was nice. What's happening?
Hugs are really good for you, so I just wanted to give you one.
All right, how so? Sit down. How are hugs good for you?
Yeah, it might sound a little crazy, but hugs are an indicator of strong social support. There's a lot of evidence that links strong social support to better physical health. So if you have supportive friends and family, the negative effects of stress on the body are sort of canceled out when you have support. So hugs are part of these strong relationships. There's this psychologist at Carnegie Mellon. His name is Sheldon Cohen, and he studies this protective effect of social support on the body.
Social support acts as a stress buffer. What that means is that if stress puts you at risk for disease, then having high levels of social support seems to protect people from that risk.
Strong social support is thought to outweigh the negative impact stress has on the cardiovascular system and immune function and reduce stress-related disease.
This, of course, leads us to the idea, well, is there a simple intervention that might impact people's perceptions of social support or their protection from stress?
Scientists don't know much about which words or actions effectively convey social support. So in a study published this year, Cohen ran an experiment. For 14 days, his researchers asked study participants,
have you had a conflict or tension during that day? And did anybody hug you today?
Then the participants were injected with a cold virus. As expected, people with more social conflict were more likely to be infected. But if they had more social conflict and more perceived social support, that increase in infection risk was wiped out. And hugs were a main factor in that perceived social support.
About a third of the people who are protected by social support are protected either because of the hugs or because the hugs are an indicator of kind of the intimacy of their social relationships.
Cohen's team also had another finding which surprised him. When people were already infected with the virus, being hugged was correlated with fewer symptoms of illness, whether they were stressed out or not.
So there clearly are effects of these two factors that are independent of one another.
In other words, there could be some special ingredient in a hug that helps protect people from getting sick, apart from reducing stress. This experiment adds to a 2007 study done by Beata Dittson, a medical psychology professor at the University of Heidelberg in Germany. She studied women's stress reactions after mock job interviews and mental math tasks.
We tested 75 women, and we tested them in three different conditions.
A third of the women did the test alone, another third got verbal support from their male partners, and the rest got shoulder or neck massages. After the test, Dittson measured heart rate and levels of cortisol, a stress hormone that suppresses the immune system.
Those who received the massage showed the lowest stress response in cortisol and in heart rate. It clearly suggests that physical touch can reduce the stress response, at least in romantic couples.
Of course, relationships can also be a major source of stress. Research shows negative relationships provide the most potent kind of stress and the health consequences that go along with it. Managing both good and bad relationships is important to physical health. But University of Utah psychology professor Bert Uccino says it's hard for doctors to talk to their patients about their social lives.
To a certain extent, I think some people view their relationships as being private. And so it's difficult to tell people you should get rid of these certain relationships because they're bad for you and cultivate these other ones because they're good for you.
I think right now there's not as much focus.
That's primary care physician Susanna Evans.
We all are asking everybody every visit about smoking. And I think we're getting to the point where we'll start to think more about including that social piece as we sort of evolve these ideas.
Evans says she already asks patients in her West Philly office about friends and family when she's taking a medical history, and she revisits the topic if it's relevant.
It's interesting, as we were just talking about that, I just think of a patient that I had who moved here for work from San Diego.
She had lived in San Diego her whole life, and after moving to Philadelphia, kept getting sick. The patient visited Evans for four ailments in less than 3 months. a sore throat, musculoskeletal complaints.
Various illnesses. And then after a while, we really got to talking about the fact that probably a lot of this was stemming out of her feeling alone here in Philadelphia and still trying to make the transition.
In addition to treating each illness, eventually Evans recommended she join a running club to make new friends. Sheldon Cohen believes doctors like Evans who ask about friends and family during office visits are rare, largely because the fix for loneliness or a stressful relationship can't really be written on a prescription pad.
And it may be fair that we don't see that much because we don't yet have a good enough understanding of how to intervene to change these things.
That's why Cohen is studying hugs, to find simple recommendations doctors can give their patients to strengthen good relationships and keep stressful ones in check. Maybe a prescription for hugs isn't so far off. For The Pulse, I'm Carolyn Beeler.